All right, I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And Brother Gilmer, you're probably going to have a mission team going to be calling you wanting to come to Brazil, because I'm sure somebody saw a soccer ball. And then the bus pastor is going to be wanting, Pastor, I need to go with them. I need to help them. Yeah, I can see this coming now. All right, Acts chapter 3, please. Last week we looked at the beginning part of Peter's second sermon that he preached. And tonight I want us to think about another aspect of this message. Let's begin reading in verse 12. It says, And when Peter saw it, he answered and unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" Now you remember that they had healed this fella that was sitting by the gate who was begging, and so this guy jumps up and he runs into the temple and he's praising God, and all the people saw him and they wanted to know what was going on. Who did this? How did this happen? They were amazed because they knew this boy. They knew that from birth he had been lame and unable to walk. And now he's with Peter and John and he's praising God and he's jumping all over the place. And these people were astounded. And then And so look at it. It said, "Why marvel at this?" Verse 12. He said, "Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." Now watch this. "Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate." Notice the wording. "You denied him in the presence of Pilate." Now, you remember from our study on Wednesday nights through the Gospels, Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. And they denied Jesus in the presence of Pilate. Remember that. It says, "When he was determined to let him go. But ye denied," there it is again, "the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which before God had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." I want to speak to you tonight, a message that I'm going to entitle, "What About Jesus?" What about Jesus? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the music we've heard tonight. Lord, thank you for this wonderful presentation of the ministry in Brazil. And Lord, we're thankful that our church can be a part of this. And Lord, we just pray your richest blessings upon Brother Gilmer and his wife. Thank you for leading them, Lord, here tonight. And I pray that you'll use them greatly as they're in the States and then as they go back to their church. And Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And I pray now you will bless as the word of God is preached. Lord, help me tonight. I have a lot on my heart, a lot I want to say. And I pray you'll help me to be able to say what I need to say so that I can be a blessing to many, many people here this evening. Lord, give us ears to hear and just guide and direct throughout the message. Help us to see the argument and the logic and the language that is used in this message. And what a great message it is. So, Father, bless, I pray now, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you'll remember that last week I preached to you that from the beginning part of this chapter, verse 12, and the first part of verse 13, and we looked at the fact that the Apostle Peter stood before this crowd that had gathered at the Temple Mount, and he preached to them, delivered to them his second sermon that is recorded in this third chapter. We learned last week that when the people came and wanted to know what was going on, what had happened here, how is it that this man is able to walk, Peter starts in verse 13 at the very foundation of biblical truth. And he starts with God. He said, God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son. He started with the very foundation. Man has a spiritual problem, and that spiritual problem is with God. All right, I emphasize that to you, and I think one of the things that too many people are trying to do today, they're trying to advertise Jesus like he's a Kmart Blue Light special, and if you come to Jesus, all your problems are going to be taken care of, and there's no repentance, and there's no understanding of the sin problem that man has with God. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I'm not slighting the Lord Jesus at all. I think I explained that to you last week. I'm not saying that Jesus is not important in the whole plan. He is. You can't be saved apart from Jesus. All right. Jesus is the one that God sent. God sent himself in the form of his Son. His name was Jesus to die on the cross and pay the penalty for sin. But what I am preaching against is folks trying to give you this come to Jesus and all your problems are going to be solved. No, you come to Jesus in order to get your relationship problem solved with God. The problem is a sin problem, and God is the one who has been sinned against. And so Peter starts at the foundation and presents these people with the fact that they have a problem with God. Then he goes on to explain to them that the only way that problem with God can be fixed is through the Lord Jesus. So throughout the whole message, Peter's point is that we should, as sinners against God, fundamentally and primarily be concerned with our relationship to God. And that is what really matters. And then he goes on to show, as I showed you last week, how that relationship is made right and that relationship is fixed by us trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And folks, I believe that it is the job and the role of the church to hold all men before the God of heaven and emphasize that men must be rightly related to him. But it is also our responsibility to show all men that that can only be accomplished by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and trusting in his death and burial and resurrection on the cross and out of the grave for your salvation. In other words, mental assent to a creator is not Christianity. Interest in religion is not salvation. And so Peter was concerned that these people know God. That should be our concern. And he was concerned that the only way to know God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so basically, as I read the text for you tonight, what crossed my mind as I just sat in my office and read it over and over and over, what crossed my mind is that Peter is basically looking at these people and he's asking them, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Jesus Christ? What is your relationship to Christ? And he says, in effect, to these people, don't look on us, look at him. Don't look at us, look at him. You see, there's only one way that any man can be in a right relationship with God, and that is through having a right relationship with Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. So now let's look at two things tonight. And I want you to follow my thinking here. And I want to give you just two things. I sat in my office earlier this week and I just read this over and over and over. And two things stood out to me that I want to call to your attention tonight. First of all, I want us to look at the language of the sermon. I want you to think about the language of the sermon. The language of the sermon is amazing. Let me again read for you the middle part of let's just read verse 13, 14, and 15. It says, the God of Abraham. Now listen to the language here. They want to know, how did this happen? How did this guy walk? How is this guy healed? Tell us, how did it happen? And Peter answers and says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. Wow. And whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And I thought as I read that over and over and over, here's Peter's language. Here's what Peter is saying to these people. Peter is preaching to them in order to get them to see the relevance of Jesus Christ. He is trying to get them to see the importance, the relevance of Jesus Christ in this whole matter. Let me show you what I mean. Really, he is being kind to these people, almost feeling sorry for them and for their ignorance in crucifying the Savior. I mean, he says to them in verse 17, this killing of the Prince of Life that you did in ignorance. And here's the point. Here's what he is striving to get them to understand. He says, you thought, now listen very carefully to this, you thought when you crucified Jesus, you were done with him. You thought when you killed him, you thought that you were done with him. Yes, in ignorance, you crucified Jesus, and you thought when he died that you were never going to have to face him or anything connected to him again. But oh, how wrong you are in this kind of thinking. And he says to them, you are standing here before me, interested in this miracle that was just performed, and your interest is directed towards us, like we have some kind of special power, and that we are able, through some special holiness, to give this man his legs back. He said, but you're just wrong about that. You want to know what this is? You want to know how this miracle was done? Here's how it was done. This is Jesus, the one that you thought you were finished with. You're not finished with him at all. And that's basically Peter's message. And folks, that's the message that the church is to share with the world that needs to be made right with God. I mean, this old world needs to understand that there is a God, and that God is going to hold all men accountable for their sin. I mean, the wages of sin is still death. And the only way that a person can be saved from their sin is to come through Jesus Christ. So the one they fought so hard to get rid of was confronting them in this miracle. It was Jesus that did this. Look carefully at the wording. He said, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son. This was the Lord that was doing this miracle. They could not see him, but he was there. Jesus, whom they had rejected, was the explanation of the phenomenon they were witnessing. And so Peter proceeded to preach the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. And folks, think about it. Isn't this just like the world today? I mean, in the world just like these folks, the world thinks it's gotten rid of Jesus. You know, I mean, the world lives as though, you know, there is no Jesus, there is no God. We don't have to answer to this. I mean, liberalism has come and taken him out of just about every church there is. And they no longer believe the Bible is the Word of God. And they no longer give invitations and no longer have church except for when it's convenient to have church. And they've just done away. Religion has done away with God. And so the world rejects him. They deny him. They call him just a good man that lived and died. And now we must move on. And in the world's cleverness, they have disposed of Christ. But you know, the amazing thing is he just keeps coming back. He still confronts us today, and we cannot get away from him. He dominates the universe and the whole of history, just as he always has done. Peter called him Jesus because that's how he was known to the people, as Jesus of Nazareth. And I don't care who you are in here tonight, you cannot escape the fact that you are today being brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and lived and died and resurrected from the dead and had such an impact upon the world that he has divided all history into B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after Christ. So no matter what you try or how you try to do it, you're not going to rid yourself of Jesus. You're going to have to face him. So my question is, what do you think about Jesus? Dear friend, you cannot escape it. You cannot escape it. You either believe he is who he claimed to be, or you do not. It's just that simple. And here's Peter's point. I mean, here's Peter's point. He's standing there talking to these people. Listen, from the language here, from the wording here, you get the idea that these very people that he's preaching to here in the third chapter were the ones that were arguing with Pilate, "Go ahead and crucify." You get the idea that these people were there when Jesus was tried and when he was put to death. You kind of get the idea, or I do, I kind of get the idea that these people were the ones that were standing around the cross and were hollering out and saying, "If you be the Son of God, come down off of that cross." And now they're standing here and Peter's preaching to them again. And he's telling them again. And it's almost like, I mean, if you listen to what he's saying, it's almost like you can hear him say to them, "How could you not believe that he is the Son of God? How could you sit here and deny him? How could you reject him as your only hope to a right relationship with God? You heard his teaching. You heard his preaching. You saw his miracles. You looked at his suffering when he was on the cross. You know that he resurrected from the dead. You know that death could not hold him in the grave. How could you reject that?" And that leads me to the second thing, and that is the logic of the sermon. Everybody understand now language? Everybody understand the language? Folks, I sat there and read it. I said, "Okay, Peter, what are you saying to these people?" He's telling them Jesus is relevant. He's telling them, you didn't kill him. Oh, no, he died, but you didn't kill him. He died, but he died for sin. And then he resurrected from the dead, just like he said he would. They heard him say that. That's the language. But now, secondly, look at the logic of the sermon. By logic, I'm just talking, look at Peter's argument. Just look at it. Folks, two times in the 13th and the 14th verse, Peter says that these very people to whom he was preaching denied the Lord Jesus. They denied him. In other words, these people did not just hear about him, they heard him. And they denied him. They heard his claims. They heard him say that he was from God. They heard him say, "Destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll bring it back to life. I'll build it up again." They heard that. They heard all of his claims. And yet, what did they do with Jesus? They killed him. He argued that with them in this passage of Scripture that they killed the Holy One, the Just, that they killed God's Son, Jesus Christ. They came after the miracle And they said, what is this? How is it that this man is able to walk? And so what's Peter do? He presents them with Jesus and tells them what is the obvious. Now watch, folks. Think of the fact that these people had heard all of Christ's claims. They were familiar with every claim that Jesus made. Everywhere he went, he was constantly making claims that just astounded everyone. Even though he was from a carpenter's home in Nazareth, he claimed to be from God. They heard that. Even though he never was trained in anybody's rabbinical school, he spake as never a man spake. They asked him where he got his letters. Where did you get your degree? Where did you get your letters? Where did you learn your alphabet? And he said to them, are you kidding? I am the alphabet. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end and everything in between. And the people were astounded by his claims. He said all the time, ye have heard it said of old, but I say unto you. You say, well, what's so special about that? Well, it shows us his authority. It shows us his authority. He had no problem telling people to follow him. And on and on and on I could go. Folks, the Gospels are full of amazing claims that were made by the Lord Jesus. Claims that he made to the very people who are standing here now asking Peter, how did this happen? They knew full well what had happened. Yet Peter reminded them of recent events. He reminded them of what transpired and reminded them of some things that had happened just a couple of months earlier when Jesus was arrested and when he was taken before Pilate. There are really several people referred to in these verses. There was Pilate, the Roman governor, an intellectual man who could see no case against Jesus and wanted to set him free. Go back into the Gospels and you'll see that part of Pilate's decision was based upon Mrs. Pilate coming to him and whispering in his ear and saying, you know, Pilate, I've suffered many things through the night in a dream because of this man. I don't think you ought to do what these Jews are wanting to do to him. I don't think you ought to do that. I think you need to set him free. But the people just protested vehemently and they said, no, crucify him. But think about it, folks. Pilate took it another step, didn't he? Man, he didn't want to crucify Jesus. He didn't want to. He said, you folks have no claim here. You have no just cause for killing this man. And he went so far as to bring Barabbas out, a thief, a murderer, a man that was probably, out of all the men in their jail, probably the worst of the worst. And he brought Barabbas out, stood him out and held him before the people and said, you Jews have a custom that every year I release unto you a prisoner. Which would you have me release? Jesus, this just man, or Barabbas, this criminal? And these very people cried out and said, release unto us Barabbas. And Pilate couldn't believe what he was hearing. How could you say that? How could you possibly want this thug to go free and me crucify this innocent man? He said, what shall I do with Jesus? And they said, let him be crucified. And Pilate said, his blood be upon you. They said, that's not a problem. His blood be upon us and our children. These very people, Pilate was anxious. And Peter reminded him in verse 13 that Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, but you folks wouldn't hear of it. And then we must look at the Roman soldiers nailing Jesus to the cross. And there, as the soldiers took him after they had beaten him, folks, you have no idea how badly our Lord was beaten. You've seen pictures of artist renditions of Christ hanging on the cross. Don't you believe a one of them? Listen, Isaiah said that when you looked at him, you could not even tell that that was a man. That they had beaten him into just a bloody pulp and nailed him to the cross. And you couldn't even tell that it was a man. And when these very people stood and looked at him hanging on Calvary's cross, they saw weakness. They did not understand what was going on. They did not understand that he could have called 10,000 angels. They did not understand that this was God in the flesh, and all he had to do was think the thought, and every angel in heaven would have come and set him free. They didn't think about any of that. It never crossed their minds. And there, as they watched him, they thought, oh, look at him. We've got him now. The devil stood over against the brow of the hill and rubbed his hands together and said, finally, finally. And so did all these wicked people. They thought, this is the end of Jesus. And folks, the people and the soldiers and said to as he was hanging on the cross, he saved others, himself he cannot save. They saw him in weakness. They said, if you're the Son of God, then save yourself. And folks, the point I want you to see, and I think the thing that Peter is bringing to their attention, is that every person there, every single person thought when he died that they were finished with him, that the story was over, and all of his claims were false claims. It was done, and now we can get back to the way it used to be. But Peter's argument is that it's not over. And that once again, you must face him. And folks, the question that Peter is putting before them is, what are you now going to do with Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? Let me ask Peter's question that he asked these people to each and every one of you. Watch it now. Watch how it unfolds. See the whole scene here. The crippled man is healed. The crowd gathers thinking Peter and John did it. Wow, how did this happen? Who did this? Wow, look at this. Peter saw the opportunity to do what Jesus had commanded him to do, and that is preach the gospel. So when they started asking, who did this? Peter steps up and says, hey, look, guys, John and I did not do this. And he takes the opportunity to lay the foundation and tells them about God and tells them that man's problem is a sin problem, and that sin problem has to be dealt with. And then he tells them that the only way that sin problem can be dealt with is through Jesus Christ, his Son, the Holy One, the Just One, the one the prophet spoke about, that there is no other way. And what is Peter's point? His point is this. Listen, folks, here it is. His point is, hey, everybody, I want to serve notice on you that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And folks, I submit to you tonight, he's still who he claimed to be. And that's the reason why church can't save you. And that's the reason why there's no baptism that can wash away your sins. And that's the reason why that there's no priest that can sprinkle something over you or wave something over you or cross over you and absolve your sins. There's only one that can do that, and that's God's eternal Son. He is not dead. He is risen. Oh, he died, that's for sure. But he died for sin. Not for his own sin, but for the sin of the whole world. And he says to them, you thought you were done with him. But boy, you're not done with him. You'll never be done with him. And folks, you'll never be done with him. You can sit here tonight without Christ and say, well, I'm not going to trust him. I'm not going to be saved. If I don't have to think about it, don't have to deal with it. Oh, how wrong you are. There will never be a time when you'll be done with him. Never. You thought you were done with him, but you're not. You'll never be done with him. You denied him once, but now you're face to face with him again. Man, do you see that? Boy, can't you imagine them people standing there trembling in their boots? Who did this? You guys didn't. No, we didn't do it. Jesus did. Wait a minute. Jesus? Yeah, the one you crucified. The one you crucified, even after Pilate tried to let him go, you wouldn't listen and you crucified him. You thought you were done with him. You're not. You're not. You'll never be done with him. And so just as Peter put God before the people, and just as he put Jesus as the only way to God, that's our message, folks. That's the message of the New Testament church. That's the message of the soul winner that goes out of the New Testament church. That's the message that needs to be heralded from behind the pulpits of America. Jesus saves. And there's no other way. So what do you think of Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Now, folks, think of Pilate, Herod, the Jews. What were their choices? I mean, what were their choices? And when you think about it, they only had one of two choices. They could either crown him king or they could crucify him a criminal. Those were only two choices they had. Crown him king or crucify him a criminal. And they chose to crucify him as a criminal, thinking that that would be the end of it. And my dear friend, listen to me. Those are your only two choices here tonight, even all these years later. You can believe him, face him, accept him, trust him as God's payment for your sin penalty, or you can reject him and you can refuse to trust him and trust something else to get you through eternity. But you mark it down, dear friend. You reject him now and say, I'm not going to deal with this right now. Well, just mark it down. You will have to deal with it later. You will. Mark it down. You will face him at the great white throne judgment of God, where you'll hear him say, it's too late for you, sir. It's too late for you, ma'am. Hey, do you remember on October the 7th, Sunday evening service? Do you remember sitting there that night? And Brother Gilmer and his wife were here from Brazil and presented their ministry, and the choir sung about going to heaven and just stepping on shores and finding it home. And Sarah sung about his eyes on the sparrow. Do you remember that service? And it'll be real fresh in your mind. Yeah, you'll remember every word. And Jesus will look you square in the eye and say, you know, you had your chance right there that night. You said no. That preacher looked at you and said, crown him and crucify him. What are you going to do? What do you think of Jesus? And you sat there and said, I don't want to face this. I don't want to face this. I don't want to deal with this. And in your rejection, you're going to hear the Son of God say, well, then I reject you. For at the great white throne judgment, that's the final judgment, dear friend. And you'll hear the last voice from the Son of God as you hear him say, depart from me into everlasting torment. I never knew you. Now, dear friend, listen, you can leave here tonight and reject every word I said. You have the right to do that. There is nobody around here going to hold a gun to your head and make you get saved. I'm not going to do it. And you know, God's not going to do it either. God wants you to willingly choose. Could you imagine when you first started dating your spouse, guys, could you imagine walking up with a baseball bat, looking her dead in the eye and saying, now look, you are going to love me. You understand what I'm saying? You are. You understanding this? You getting my drift? No, you don't want her to love you that way. You want her to choose to love you. And folks, that's exactly how God wants you to love him. And Peter's argument to these people is so simple. It's so simple. He just takes them back to just a couple of months earlier and relives for them. Just relives for them those fateful hours. When they stood and defied God and shook their fist in the face of God. And he says to them, you thought you were done with him? Oh, no. No, he came out of that grave. And that's what this is all about. And you look at verse 19. We'll get to this probably. But look at verse 19. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world begun. That's still the message, folks. That's still the message. You know, I wish I could stand up here and tell you, you know, if you folks just be good, you'll get to heaven. I wish I could stand up here and tell you, you know, if you folks will just get in that tank up there, you can get to heaven. I wish I could stand up here to tell you, you know, if you just walk down this aisle and sign one of these little slips over here to join the church and tithe a certain amount, you can go to heaven. I wish it was that simple. But it's not that simple. It requires a broken and repentant heart. It requires realizing that there's a God who's been offended by your wicked sin, and that that God must have your sin forgiven, and the only way to do that's through Jesus. And boy, that's the message that Peter preached. Can you see them people standing there quivering, shaking in their boots? My goodness, it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing what goes on here. And these guys were fearless. Now, dear friend, listen, you can leave here this morning or tonight and you can reject. You can. You have that right to do it. But you mark it down. You're not finished with Jesus. You mark it down. Unsaved person, listen to me. You're not finished with Jesus. You can sit here and tune me out and turn me off all you want, but you ain't done with him. Now, that may not be good grammar, but that's good preaching. You're not done with him. You'll face him again. The day is coming when you will see that he is alive and well, and you will see him as the final judge over all men. So the question that I have for you tonight is the same question that Peter asked that crowd 2,000 years ago when he preached his second sermon. And the question is, what do you think of Jesus? What are you going to do with him, my friend? You going to crown him king, or you going to crucify him a criminal? He validated every claim he made. And that's Peter's point. He validated every claim. Peter took him back and had him remember. And then said he validated them all when he resurrected from that grave. Everything he said proved itself to be true when he came out of that grave. I've told you folks this, and I'm not trying to make light. I'm not trying to be comical. I'm just trying to get you to see a reality. 30 years I've been in the ministry. 30 years. I've gone to the cemetery more times than I care to remember. Somebody asked me the other day, said, how many funerals have you done? And I said, good night. I lost track long time ago. I have done a ton of funerals in 30 years. Not one time. Not one time in 30 years has anybody ever got out of that grave. When you die, you die. That's it. You're dead. They buried Jesus and went to extreme measures to make sure that he did not come out of that grave. You know why they did that? Because they heard him say over here, You kill me, in 3 days I'll come back to life. They heard that. And they were going to make sure that he stayed in that grave. They put a band of soldiers out there, guarded that thing, but God showed up. No soldiers fell over as dead. That stone was rolled away, and Jesus was up. And that validated everything that he said. And so he's now looking at these people and he's saying, what's wrong with you? You heard him. You saw him. You listened to him preach. You saw him heal the blind. You saw him cure leprosy. You saw him raise people from the dead. You saw all that. You saw it. You heard it with your own ears and you saw it with your own eyes. And this is who this is. This is Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Folks, that's the Jesus that we serve today. So my question to you is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, and I pray You will bless what's been said here tonight. And Lord, give us understanding of the Word. Help us, Lord, to realize what a wonderful Savior we serve. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what He did for us. Thank You, Lord, for His death and burial and resurrection. And Lord, thank You for eternal life that You've given us. And Lord, as we ponder that question, what do You think of Jesus? Lord, may You stir our hearts tonight, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around. How many of you here tonight will give testimony? Pastor, I'm saved and I know it and there's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? You say, Pastor, I know the Lord. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Amen. Good. Good. Wow, that was great. You may put your hands down. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That looked like everybody to me. I could have missed someone, so let me ask this. Anybody here tonight say, Preacher, you know, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not 100% sure. If I died right now, I just don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. But Preacher, I'm concerned about my soul, and I wish You'd pray for me. Pastor, remember me tonight as you close in prayer. Would you slip your hand up right now where you're seated, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. And I will pray and ask God to help you. Everybody ought to raise their hand at least once. You're either saved or you're not. If you're not saved, you ought to be concerned enough. Let me pray for you. Would you do it? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. Anybody? Anybody? Yes, God bless you, son. I see your hand. You may put it down. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. All right, let me ask this. How many saved folks here tonight will say, Preacher, God's speaking to my heart tonight. I need to serve the Lord better. The Lord died for me, and certainly I can live for Him. And God's speaking to my heart tonight. Preacher, pray for me. Would you raise your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you, folks. God bless you. Amen. Good. Good. All right, now, Lord, You know our needs tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us, speak to our hearts, draw us to Yourself. Lord, You know every person in this room and You know every heart. You know the hearts that are saved and on their way to heaven. And You know those, Lord, that are not yet saved. And so I pray that You'll speak to hearts tonight. Lord, especially for this one that said, pray for me, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I pray that this person will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ right here tonight. Lord, may they walk down this aisle and let someone take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Then, Lord, I want to pray for Christians and many hands raised tonight. Lord, we hear about what Jesus did for us. And Father, we hear about the power of the resurrection and realize, Lord, that we're so weak. And, Lord, we need Your help and Your blessing in our lives. So, Father, speak to hearts and I pray You'll stir our hearts to greater heights of service. Lord, there are folks here tonight that need to join the church. There's folks that need to be baptized. There's folks that need to start reading their Bibles. There's folks that need to come out to visitation and go soul winning and tell others about Jesus. Lord, there's so many needs. And I pray that You will speak to hearts tonight and just do what only You can do. Lord, I've preached as clearly as I know how, and Lord, preach what you showed me, but Lord, I can't do any more. So I pray that Lord, you'll now do Your part and just convict hearts, Lord, and draw us to a decision for You tonight. So bless, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.